We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. It is week 11 in the National Football League. Things got kicked off last night. Tennessee takes down Green Bay, and the Packers season is basically over. Tennessee continues to impress at 7-3. I think they're a very good team, just not a team that I'm going to say is going to win a Super Bowl, even though Ryan Tannehill played really good last night. I don't trust him in a big spot. All right, Hickey, give me some music. We will do a little one thought in every game for this upcoming weekend. Start things off, Bears at the Falcons. Justin Fields has played really well the last few weeks. You were up 14 points last week. You lose the game. You threw the pick. Then you're able to run for 67 yards. You get the go-ahead score. Miss the extra point. Then the Lions go down. They get the touchdown and the extra point. They win. This Falcons team, we saw what they were last Thursday night. They were fooling us, misleading us a little bit through the first few weeks of the season. I want to see Justin Fields play well and the Chicago Bears win. That's my thought on the game.
I also want to see Justin Fields play well, but I want to see him play well through the air. Like, the thing about Justin Fields the last few weeks is he's been great on the ground. And he's been throwing some nice passes, but also, too, last week, costly pick six that, you know, eventually did cost the Bears the game when you allowed the Lions tie it up. Now, I know he made up for it, but again, I made up for it on a 67-yard touchdown run. I want to see him develop more with his passing game because I don't think you can be a truly viable starter in the NFL if your biggest weapon still is your ability to run the ball, and you can't really make a lot of plays with your arm.
I filled in last night for Danny Parkins on that. Danny Parkins and Andrew Filippone, 2400. Is that Odyssey? I'm pretty sure. First and Pod. That's the name of the pod I was on last night?
Yes.
That I was co-host of last night? I should probably know those things. But anyway, they asked me a question last night, Pony. Out of all the 2021 first-round quarterbacks, who do you feel most confident about? Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. Your answer? Hickey takes a deep breath.
Right now, I still would lean with Trevor Lawrence, confidence-wise. Okay.
That's what Pony said. I said, I don't really trust anyone right now, but if I had to make a pick based off what I'm seeing right now, it would be Fields. Because look at what Fields is doing individually the last few weeks with nothing around him. I don't think there's a right answer here because it's not to feel great about any of these quarterbacks.
And it's not like the coach of the year where we're nitpicking great coaches and it's like tough to get a top five. This is, like you mentioned, all of them for the most part are struggling and there's some glimpses, but not a lot of consistency.
All right, next game. Browns and Bills. You want to know my thought on this game? Will this game even happen on Sunday? Buffalo is in the midst of getting 3 to 6 feet of snow. I've seen videos from Bills players posting their backyards and their driveways. I don't know how they're going to get to the airport tomorrow. I wonder if this game's actually going to happen on Sunday at 1 o'clock, Iggy. That's my thought.
I'm going to go into the assumption the game is played. So if that's the case, I'm really interested to see how the Bills respond. Two tough losses in a row. You had the game up to 17 points against the Vikings. You blow that. This is a team that has is built with a lot of high character guys. This is a situation where you're facing true adversity for the first time really since the playoff loss last year to the Chiefs. How do you respond? How do you come out and should just pummel what has been a really bad Browns team this year?
All right, can I give you an actual thought now on the game? I want to see at the end of this game if the Bills say to themselves, maybe we regretted not trading for Kareem Hunt. Because he was there. He wanted out. I don't think it would have cost them much. They ended up going with Nyheim Hines, who's fine. But Kareem is more proven. I wonder if that plays a factor in this game. Eagles and Colts. Very simple. The only way the Colts have a shot in this game is through their running back, Jonathan Taylor. The Eagles' run defense has been horrible. I am very confident the Eagles' pass rushers will be able to put a number on Matt Ryan because he's a statue now. It's very simple. Eagles, you can't let Jonathan Taylor beat you. That's a thought.
I'm really interested to see how this Colts offensive line plays. They dominated the Raiders last week, but again, it's the Raiders. So I have truly no idea how good they are. This is a good test. I know the Eagles are banged up on their front four, but that run defense is by far the weakest for Philadelphia. If the Colts are able to get a push up front, I would be concerned from the Eagles going forward.
Jets at the Pats. Very simple. The reason why the Jets lost this game 2-3 weeks ago was because Zach Wilson turned over the football. Bill Belichick owns young quarterbacks. Bill Belichick owns the Jets. They've won 13 straight. I want to see, and I hope he does not perform well, but I want to see what Zach Wilson is made out of. If you are a franchise quarterback, you find a way to beat the Patriots once and not cost your team twice.
Hate to agree, but I'm with you. I think it's kind of coming down to the young quarterbacks, and this is a game where I don't feel good about either offense. The Patriots' offense is not very good. The Jets' offense is not very good. It's going to be in this second-year quarterback battle who could turn it over fewer times. Mac Jones kind of got lucky throwing a pick six that got called back. Otherwise, who knows where that game goes.
It was a good call, right call.
I'm not saying it's not, but I'm just saying that if you're down 17-3, I think it would have been like before halftime. It's over. Instead, you know, you're able to cut it down the deficit. So it's all about who can take care of the ball better. That's going to be the key to this game.
You want to know a good bet in this game?
The under.
That's fair. Anytime touchdowns, Ramondre Stevenson, and then Michael Carter. Because I think the running backs are going to play a big role in this game. Rams at the Saints. Oh. Wow. This game stinks. No Cooper Kupp. Who knows who will play for the Saints? All we know is that Andy Dandy Dalton, for some reason, is going to be starting at quarterback because Jameis Winston is healthy enough to practice, healthy enough to be the backup, but not healthy enough to be the starter. Matthew Stafford, there's a lot of Hall of Fame, and I thought some premature Hall of Fame talk with him after winning a Super Bowl last year and just having one really great season where you won a championship. And I know he's had a very good career. I want to see if Matthew Stafford could go carry a team. Because he's expected to play in this game. I know he missed last week. I want to see if he can go carry a team against the Saints defense that's good, but this is not a great Saints team. Both these teams stink. This is you know when we do what games we're bizarrely excited for at 9:40? This is like usually a game that you would think, oh, well, this is a bizarre one, but there's no reason for excitement in this game, so I can't use that one.
Absolutely not. I'm interested to see, not excited, interested to see, can this finally be a game where Allen Robinson has an actual impact on the game? There's no Cooper Kupp, like you mentioned, so I don't know where else Matthew Stafford's going to go throw the football. It has to be now to the guy they acquired in the offseason, which I really thought was going to have a bigger impact and really become or have like a 1-2 punch, but instead has been mostly invisible. This has to be a game where Allen Robinson steps up and actually kind of shows you all the hype that we thought, you know, or believed in come March, April, May can actually be lived out in reality. Now, granted, 11 weeks too late, but better late than never.
Yeah, it's a big week for him. You're right. It's a good point by you. Lions at the Giants. Very simple. You have not been disappointed with Brian Daboll yet. Don't have a letdown game here. Detroit can score some points, but that defense, I know they did a good job against Rodgers, but that's not saying much these days. That defense is not good. And also, you look at the Lions last week, they allowed a lot of rushing plays to Justin Fields. I think Daniel Jones could have a big game on the ground. Especially with Saquon Barkley, too. That's the obvious. But Daniel Jones is going to be a force on the ground in this game. Do not have a letdown game if you're the Giants.
I was higher, let's say, on the Lions coming in. I really thought they'd be a more competitive team than they showed so far. But, hey, break them up.
You're a sucker for these bad
two
teams.
Two wins in a row.
You're a sucker for these bad teams.
A little momentum for Dan Campbell and the Lions.
Stop.
That's not a great win over the Giants. But, hey, that's
wait,
not
hold
true.
On. They beat the Giants. That's a really good win. The Giants are 7-2. Put some respect on their name.
The Giants have been a very good surprise
so far
this season.
You wish your team was 7-2.
I absolutely do. And my team is nowhere close to the Colts being to 7-2. This would be a really good win on the road for the Lions. Keep the momentum going here. Let's make it 3 in a row and get some real momentum here going into year 3 for Dan Campbell and co.
Lamar Jackson hosting Baker Mayfield. I know Lamar didn't practice today, but he's going to play. I just want to see what Baker Mayfield's going to do. You know, I do a weekly hit every Friday on WFNZ, one of our great affiliates in Charlotte with Mac and Bone. And I said to them, I go, it's kind of weird, guys. With what I've seen from P.J. Walker, you're kind of disappointed that P.J. Walker's not playing in this game. Not that P.J. Walker's been great, but he's been better than what Baker Mayfield was earlier in the year. Baker Mayfield's career has really fallen off a cliff. I want to see what Baker could do this week, as he now has another path to redemption, another opportunity in this league.
I want to see if the Ravens can play a full game. Full four quarters, to play good in the first half, good in the second half, offensively, defensively.
But against this Panthers team, does that matter?
I think it does matter because they haven't done it so yet this season. Like, I don't know if I could point to you where they played one full game.
If they win this game 40-14, do you feel any differently about the Ravens than what you do going into the game?
This is not a statement game, but I think it definitely helps ease some concerns compared to if this is a 17-14 game. We're saying, like, what the hell are the Ravens doing? Or they're up 20-3, and all of a sudden next year they're holding up for dear life as Baker Mayfield's marching down the field for potential game-tying, you know, field goal or touchdown. Just play a full game. That's all. Like, don't make this game a story. How about, maybe that's what I should say. Don't make this game a story. Offensively, defensively, just take care of business, blow them out.
Commanders at the Texans. Taylor, Ham, Heinicke. I want to see if he continues this little run. They're 3-1 with him as the starter. Don't open up that door for that Carson Wentz to come on back. Taylor, Ham, Heinicke, keep on winning games. They should be able to beat the Texans.
I want to see what the post-game celebration like is going to be on the plane. Swag them out. Do you add more chains? You give them more sunglasses?
I'll tell you this. They will not be adding alcohol back into that.
Do you hide
after
the
what happened with Tennessee?
Make sure it's in a styrofoam cup or maybe out of the frame if you're going on Instagram Live. This team rallies around. Like, they have an affinity for Taylor Heinicke. I think it's obvious. Like you mentioned, they should win this game. And the more, like, I don't see how Carson Wentz is going to be able to get his job back when you see every single game they're basically lifting Taylor Heinicke off it on his shoulders, putting him on his shoulders, walking off the field.
Yeah.
They love that. It's like Rudy. They love him.
You make it like he's like the little nerd that the cool kids invite to the table.
I mean, Chase Young with the torn ACL is basically throwing this guy on his shoulder and walking him around on the plane. Basically, this is my guy.
Yeah, Chase Young wanted a picture with Taylor Heinicke. Remember those photos where it would be two famous people taking a photo and it'd be so-and-so and a fan?
Yes.
Taylor Heinicke and a fan. That was Chase Young was the fan. Raiders and the Broncos. Is there a better game this weekend than this one?
No.
It's the battle of incompetence.
I can't wait.
The Raiders and the Broncos, both these teams stink. Like, what's the thought? I have no thought on this game. That I'm excited to see which team is going to suck less? Do you have a genuine thought on this game?
I do, yes. This has to be a game. Like, this
you know
is
what I want to see? Mark Davis. Open up your wallet before the game. Let me see your bank account. How much cash you got in there?
That's actually...
Do you have the finances to fire Josh McDaniels?
Let's see those. Yeah, honestly. Come on. Open up the books there.
That's
there,
my
Mark.
Thought.
This is Nathaniel Hackett's last stand. If you lose and you are inept to the Raiders again, this is over. Russell Wilson is calling out the wrong audibles. Look, the Colts offense is not very good, and they just... They ran for 207 yards against the Raiders defense, maybe the worst defense in the NFL. They stink. Front four, linebackers, secondary, they have Max Crosby and no one else. They are terrible. If you are still putting up 14 points a game, 10 points a game, like this worst scoring offense that they are, there's no hope you're done.
You know what sucks? That the Colts already played Denver. I wish that game was later in the year, and you're going to say, why? Why?
Yeah,
why?
Why? Why?
Because I want to see Jeff Saturday against Nathaniel Hackett.
He wouldn't even make it to that point.
I don't know. I think he's going to make it the rest of the season and then get fired. Cowboys at the Vikings. Dak, can you go win the game? Team collapsed last week in Lambeau, up against the Packers. You have a hot Vikings team that's 8-1. I got to go see Dak Prescott, who's getting paid $40 million a year, lead this team to victory.
I want to see how the Vikings respond. I think there's actually a lot of pressure on them. I know going into the year, again, I picked them as a team to miss the playoffs, but expectations change as you go along. They're 8-1 right now, and like I know that you come off of an insane, improbable win over the Bills on the road, but now you have your eyes set. You were right there in terms of trying to get home field advantage at the playoffs. I don't think this team is going into Philly and winning an NFC title game in January.
Especially if those fans go back to the Rocky Steps and do the skull chant.
Right. So you are right there. You got to keep pushing ahead. You got to be able to try to grab that number one seed. That starts with a game where, look, there's pressure because the Cowboys are a good team, but you're expected to win. Vikings, like, they played a lot of bad teams. They were not favored, obviously, on the road against the Bills. Like, this is a game where you're at home. There's a lot of pressure on you to win this game.
Bengals at the Steelers. You know what's crazy, Hickey? This is a winnable game for the Steelers.
Now, that's a problem for the Bengals.
Now, you're going to say, whoa, how is this a winnable game? I don't think the Steelers are any good. We're in the same boat on that. But they could get after the quarterback. Minkah Fitzpatrick's expected to play, which I thought he wasn't going to play. You have TJ Watt now back. And I know this defense of the Steelers has not played great this year, but they get after the quarterback, and the Bengals line stinks, and there's no Ja'Marr Chase. So if you beat up Joe Burrow, we know you could beat up Joe Burrow and still lose, but I kind of expect this to be a one-score game. So with that being said, my thought is, can the Bengals offensive line block somebody? If you block, you will win this game easily. If you don't, it will be a game that you're going to have to grind out, a game that you already lost earlier in the year.
Similar to the Ravens, this is a game where I want to see, can the Bengals play a full four quarters? Like, they have been inconsistent as well.
Seesaw ride.
You're right. Like, you have to be able to block, and that's part of their issues where the offense is looking good and scoring 42 points in the first half against the Panthers, and then other times struggling to, score a touchdown throughout the entire game. Play a consistent four quarters, especially on offense, and like you said, you should be able to wipe the floor with the Steelers, even though it's a division game on the road. No problem.
Chargers hosting the Chiefs. We saw this game back in week 2 on Thursday Night Football, the debut of Amazon Prime Football, and the Chiefs came from behind to win the game 27-24. The Chargers this year beat the Raiders, lost to the Chiefs, lost to the Jaguars, beat the Texans, beat the Browns, beat the Broncos, lost to the Seahawks, beat the Falcons, lost to the 49ers. I know every win is a good win, but they haven't had a good win this year. Can you go out there and beat a great team? You're getting healthy. Williams expected to be back. Allen expected to be back, or at least trending in the right direction. Can you go beat Kansas City? Because until it says zeros on the scoreboard, no lead is safe, and we learned that in week 2 for the Chargers going up against the Chiefs.
I want to see, can the Chargers stay healthy? I know it's kind of ambiguous and a kind of a season-long question, but
by the way, happy birthday to Zion Johnson, offensive lineman.
Oh, happy birthday. He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, and I talked to him today.
Oh, very nice. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, they've practiced in full today, so that you should think that they should
They're
be ready
trending.
To make their return on Sunday against the Chiefs. And it's like, can you stay healthy, which has been an issue for them, and can you actually have this offense look like they're supposed to look? So far, it's obviously not been the case. They've barely been on the field. Can you stay healthy? Because the Chargers, we've been talking about, I feel like, for what, 10 years now? Going to the early Phillip Rivers days? They have talent. This can never either stay healthy or put it all together. Can this year, for this game, can you at least stay healthy? And we'll see what that looks against one of the best teams in the AFC.
And finally, Monday Night Football, 49ers at the Cardinals. I'm a little bit down on the 49ers. Everyone keeps on telling me Super Bowl contender, Super Bowl contender. And they beat the Chargers last week, but the Chargers pretty much were lining up Hickey and EJ and Carlos, whoever I saw in the newsroom at wide receiver last week. I was disappointed with the 49ers' effort. The Cardinals are not a good team. You don't know how healthy Kyler Murray is going to be. You don't know if Kyler Murray is going to play in this game. I want to see this be a 49ers blowout. I want to see if the 49ers could just dominate and manhandle the Arizona Cardinals, because on paper they should.
To that tone or to that point, I want to see if they actually look focused and like, look like they care. Because even last week,
they didn't care. They knew they were going to find a way. They were
kind of just slogging through the first three quarters. Like, they're not good enough to just basically go through the motions and win these games. Like,
even towards the end of the game, they couldn't put the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, it's just,
they were on the 5.
Right, after that turnover. They've been unable to kind of put games away and play up to their potential on a consistent basis. They have a lot of talent. They seem like sometimes, don't really care.
You want to talk about a crazy gambling win last week? And the Chargers +7. When Herbert can't get that ball off and they're sitting inside the 5-yard line, I'm thinking, the 49ers are going to score and you're cooked. And they missed an extra point, I think, earlier, the 49ers. So that kept it at 6. Whew.
Survive in advance.
You take the winners as they come this year. Talking about winners, Jersey Jerry and yours truly need them. We'll get to NFL picks next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to NFL picks.
It was always Zach Gelb and Jersey Jerry, but Zach just didn't know it.
Jerry in New Jersey. Jerry, what part of Jersey are you calling from?
I'm from North Jersey. I'm a blue-collar union guy.
And now they're friends.
I'm the buddies for life, right?
It was always Jersey Jerry. It was always Zach Gelb.
This has never happened before. And I'm man enough to share it. I'm man enough.
And now it's time to respect their NFL picks. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
I got a 4-game lead on Jersey Jerry, but I don't want to bury the lead. Because this guy was on fire Saturday night. All he could do was pick winner after winner after winner at UFC 281. The great Jersey Jerry here with us. Jersey Jerry, how you been?
I've been good, Zach. You know, really hot Saturday. Game of the year was on Sunday with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That cashed. I mean, I'm hot. I may not be hot on the show, but I'm starting to catch a groove right now.
You save it for the right moments. That's what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm telling you, Portnoy and Big Cat, I was on the bridge and I saw they were going nuts. And the next thing I know, it's, oh, wow, Jersey Jerry gave us a winner at UFC 281. And you started DMing me and I was like, all right, I'm going to ride Jersey Jerry that night.
Yeah, it was a great night. You know, glad to get the respect from Dave and Dan, you know, as always. You know, when they ask for a pick, if I give them one, you know, and it wins, they usually show respect, so I appreciate that.
What happened to your eye, by the way?
So that was a Drano incident. That was, I think it was Wednesday. I was, my drain was clogged, the sink, and, you know, I poured Drano down, but it wasn't going down, and I had the black medical gloves on, and, you know, I was trying to see what was in the sink with my gloves on, and then I must have got the fumes in my eye or a piece of lint or something. So I rubbed my eye, and that was a catastrophe. Yeah. That was emergency room. Yeah, emergency room right away. Doctor gave me some ointment and an eye patch and some drops. So, you know, we're healing up. We should be good by Sunday.
Okay, so maybe the eye patch coming off Sunday and you'll be good to go for a Steelers game is what you're telling me.
Yeah, exactly.
Jersey Jerry here with us. All right, I'll let you start first. What's your first pick?
Yeah, I'm going to dog this week, and I think this is a very, very live dog. You got to know when to bet the dogs, and you got to know when a dog could even win. And I know we're just doing spread, but this money line is live, too, at plus 135. I'm going with the Texans at +3.5. I think they get the job done. You know, the Commanders was the best win they'll have all year last week. They won't get another win like that. I could see them overlooking the Texans. Texans could run the ball. Don't get it twisted. I know they're really hurt, but I'm going to go with the Texans this week. I think this is a live dog at plus 135, but we're going to take the points, +3.5.
Okay, that's actually a game I have circled, but I'm going the other way. I'm taking the Commander, so maybe I'll expand my lead or you'll cut into the deficit. I'm just not betting against Taylor Ham Heineke right now. I can't trust Davis Mills. So I'm rolling with the Commanders. What do you got for game number two?
I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and here's why.
When you're hot, you're hot with them.
Yeah, when you're hot, you're hot with them. And listen, the Steelers this year, undefeated with T.J. Watt on the field, 2-0. They get to the quarterback when T.J. Watt's on the field. He's just a game wrecker. That guy could take over any game he plays. He got the one game under his belt. Did he look amazing? No, he didn't look amazing, but, you know, he was getting pressure on the ball, and that resulted in Alex Highsmith on the opposite side getting some sacks, which he did week one against Joe Burrow. This is a bad spot for the Bengals. It really is. No Jamar Chase. Joe Burrow is averaging 3.9 yards per completion since Jamar Chase has been gone. That's not going to get it done. This is Kenny Pickett's coming out show. Mark my words, Steelers +4.
All right, I'm taking a team to bounce back this week, and I thought the Colts had a good chance last week to cover the spread. They ended up winning the game outright. I think Philly is going to win this game by 10 points or more. I see the spread's at 6.5. I'll take the Eagles laying the 6.5 this week, and I think the Colts come back down to earth and the Eagles start to get right.
Awesome. My last play is going to be the San Francisco 49ers minus 8 against the Cardinals. The Cardinals are they're lost. Kyler Murray's lost. DeAndre Hopkins is upset. Kingsbury, he's just, you know, just going through the motions at this point. This team's going to get blown out by 20. So give me the 49ers this week at minus 8.
Yeah, you just look at a spread like that and you see laying 8, you go, I know it's a big number, but I would definitely take that in a second. I'm in agreement with you there. My final pick, I don't know, Jersey Jerry, maybe it's just because I like incompetence. I am probably a little bit too excited for Raiders and Broncos, and I'm just going to take the points in this one. Give me the Raiders plus 3. I don't trust either of these teams. I think this is going to be a game that it ends by a field goal. I don't trust Russell Wilson. I don't really trust Derek Carr, but I trust him a little bit more than Russell Wilson these days. So I like the Raiders plus 3. So Jersey Jerry's taking the Steelers plus 4, the 49ers minus 8. I'm going with he's going with the Texans plus 3.5. And for me, I'm taking the Commanders minus 3.5, the Eagles minus 6.5, and the Raiders plus 3. By the way, that Barstool Invitational looked pretty damn neat, Jersey Jerry. And I didn't know you had the skills on the mop, by the way, like you did. You were awesome cleaning up the court.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was a really, really good time. If anybody missed it last week, Barstool Invitational in Philadelphia. I mean, it was really awesome. It was really awesome. You know, not the best teams in college basketball, but it was a really good time, good turnout. And, you know, my number one goal was pretty much I don't want nobody to get hurt. Nobody got hurt. My job was done.
Did you get a cheesesteak in Philadelphia?
You know, I didn't. I didn't, actually.
Why not? You don't like a cheesesteak?
I do. What's a good one to go to?
You got to go to D'Alessandro's or Mama's, probably my two favorite spots in that area.
I'll tell you what. I've been to the one place you just mentioned, D'Alessandro's.
Yeah?
I'll be honest. Just not enough cheese for me. I mean, just very cheap on the cheese. I don't know. You know, is the play order extra cheese? Because it seemed like they just didn't throw any cheese on when I went there last year.
You know what, Jersey Jerry? They are the friends. The owners are actually a friend of mine. Next time you want to go, let me know. I'll make sure they make the cheesesteak exactly the way that Jersey Jerry wants it.
I'll tell you what, the meat was great. The bread was great. But, yeah, just a lack of cheese there.
Okay. I will send that into their suggestion box at D'Alessandro's and tell them they got to pick up their cheese game. But, Jersey Jerry, this is great as always. Thanks so much. Do it again next week.
Yep. See you later.
There you go. Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports stopping by. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Marco Belletti is here. Marco, by the way, when we get to this game coming up on Sunday, Broncos and Raiders, this is the game I'm most excited for.
You're glutton for punishment, huh?
This is going to be awesome. You got two incompetent bozos, McDaniels and Hackett. Who's going to mess it up and how they're going to mess it up? If you like comedy, this is comedy.
I guess. I don't know if I like comedy in my football teams.
Well, that's good for you. You're not a Raiders or Broncos fan.
Look, that's going to be ugly, and that's going to be low scoring.
Probably the under's a good play.
I would think, what is it, like 41.5?
I got to look.
It's got to be around there, right?
You would probably think.
So
honestly, I mean, wouldn't surprise me if it's in the 30s, like 38, 39.5.
That's rough.
Yeah, those two teams stink, though.
But that's the thing. I mean, again, and what's going on in Denver is not good. Now there's reports of Russell Wilson using Seattle audibles.
Yeah, from Tyler Columbus.
You know, like, I mean, we're to the point where it's, you know, you almost want to sit down and be like, are you serious? Like, is that what we're doing here? Like, are we really that lost?
What did you say for the over-under?
41-ish.
41.5. Marco's a sharp.
Oh, yeah. All over it.
Where's Marco hiding all that bread of his? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Bills. When you have this matchup against the Browns, I think this is going to become a major story in the next 24 hours. I legitimately do not know how they move this game to Detroit. Staying Sunday at 1 o'clock.
Right.
And you just think, oh, they moved to Detroit. They're probably already there, right? The Bills probably left yesterday. The Bills didn't leave yesterday.
That's a mistake.
And I see videos from the Bills players from their homes. I don't know how they're getting out of their homes.
Look, it was a mistake. They should have got out of there. There's nothing you could do about it. You got to figure it out now. I didn't check the weather report recently. I know they're supposed to get another, 3 feet maybe? So I don't know exactly when.
Would they get 3 more feet?
Yeah, they could. There's more snow coming, yeah. Yeah.
So Deion Dawkins' dog, he has like a nice-sized dog. He, I guess, was trying to show the dog you can't get outside.
Right.
And he opens up the garage. There was a wall of snow.
Yeah,
You couldn't even see.
I got to look at the weather report. I'll be clear. I didn't check it recently. Yeah. They did talk about it in the last few days, up to 6 feet, and it was going to be in like two stints. So I'm thinking that there's another wave coming. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's done. Hopefully it's
done.
Did
it even stop?
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I mean. So is there a question of when it stops? Now, they were supposed to get out of there early tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. I wouldn't think that's going
to
be
possible. They have to fly Sunday morning.
Yeah, I mean, whether you can go late at night Saturday, whether you can go Sunday morning, I don't know exactly when the weather will stop and the snow will stop to be able to get them the hell out of there. But it is the NFL. It is a franchise that understood all this. So I would think there's got to be some sort of, I mean, I don't want to say a tank, but there's got to be something that they can get them from their houses into a bus to get them to the airport. Now, it's not going to be you and me trying to, you know, shovel our way out of the driveway to try to get into my Honda Accord, you know, and get to the...
You're
going to
need
that.
Bills fans to start going over these players' houses, and we'll give you free tickets if you shovel...
That's what I mean. Like,
you shovel Josh Allen out of his driveway.
Yeah, this is not going to be, you know, my fat ass a few years ago when I got 26 inches of snow and they didn't plow my road and I was shoveling the street. Yeah. That's not going to be the case, you know, literally with a shovel, not a snowblower.
They're going to bring like a plow truck to each
They're not doing
house.
That. They're not doing that. So the players will be able to get out. Now, whether or not they can get up in the air in a plane... That's the question. When does the snow end so that they can actually fly to get them out of there? They can get to the airport. I'm convinced of that. Somehow, some way, they'll figure that out. How do they get in the air? When does the snow stop? So whether it's Saturday night or whether it's Sunday morning, they're going to do everything they can. Because you and I have talked about this. I think it was, I forget even if it was on the air or off the air now, that you still got to play Thursday.
Yeah.
You can't push this thing. You still got the Bills playing on Thanksgiving.
One thing if it was Sunday where you could like move it to a Monday or a
Tuesday.
Yeah,
do the early Monday and say, hey, you got a little bit of a short week and you go back on Sunday. Yeah. The Bills play on Thanksgiving. They can't push this thing to Monday. The Bills can't play Monday and then play Thursday. That's not fair. So they got to make sure that they play this game on Sunday.
I have never heard of a thunder snow.
News to me, yeah.
When a bomb cyclone came about, I go, oh, that's new. Thunder snow. I didn't know that was a thing. And by the way, we are on in Buffalo this hour, so... If you're listening in Buffalo, we just want to send our well wishes and hope that everything is okay if you're able to listen to us tonight. Hickey, do you have something? You look like you have something.
I do, yes. The good news is it seems like the snow will dissipate somewhat shortly. Next 12 hours should get about 9 inches of snow more still.
Oh, just that.
Okay. How many do they have already?
Looks like at least 2 feet, depending on where you are.
That's it? Only? Well, two feet.
Well, some places there was three, but either way, two feet of snow
some
is a lot of snow.
Some of the videos I've been seeing, it looks like more than 2 feet.
Yeah,
but okay.
Yeah. All right,
depends on where you are.
So 9 more, and then that's it? Does it come back?
It looks, so if we're looking at about 11 a.m., 48% chance of snow. So you're under 50%, 12 o'clock, 37%, and then it looks like by 1 o'clock, 16%.
You know what's kind of
crazy?
And
it doesn't come back?
After the next 12 hours, it should be okay to get out. Now, I think it is going to come back eventually, but you have a little window where you can sneak out, at least whether it's,
all right, so you figure
in the driveway or getting off the runway, whatever.
So they'll leave tomorrow night.
That's the maybe even tomorrow evening. Hopefully, it doesn't come back tomorrow night. The snow.
Yeah.
So you got to give them a few hours to get them the hell out of their house, to get them to the airport, and then you got to have that window to be able to get a flight up in the air, and also to get the airport
nothing
cleared
freezing
out.
Freezing too.
Right, and also get the airport cleared out. Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm sure they're working on it, but. This is a lot of snow. This is this is not like 5-6 inches.
And also, I know we get caught up in our bubble where like NFL's priority number one. When you have real life scenarios, I know sometimes they put business priorities first, like an NFL team, but is that the number one priority to get the Bills off to Detroit?
I mean, yes and no, I would say. Yes and no, in the simple fact that, I mean, it's their flight, it's their plane.
True.
It's a little different.
True.
You know, they're not flying United. Mm-hmm. And United may look at them and say, hey, we got other priorities.
Yeah.
The Bills' charter flight has no other priority other than to get the Bills to Detroit to play the Browns.
No, yeah, that's fair.
So as long as the airport and the runway is clear and there's no ice, like you said, and they can just get them up in the air. The idea is the safety of actually flying the plane once they get all the players there.
To answer your question, Marco, looks like I have a 10-hour window. 10 o'clock p.m. Saturday night, so tomorrow night is when it gets to get a pickup again.
So that's when it comes
so
back. So they got to get the hell out of there before
10 o'clock. That window is where it will be 50% or less.
Okay.
That's where you get the 6 feet because you're talking about 3 feet in one and 3 feet in another because
so
this is too
small. Window you got to hit.
Exactly.
So not that we are like the weatherman here, but just wondering.
Not Jim Cantore.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I can't call you Hurricane Hickey because this isn't a hurricane, but you said on Saturday night at 10 p.m.?
Yes, is when it picks up again.
Do you know when that's supposed to stop? Because then I'm starting to think after the game on Sunday, how the heck do they get back?
Well, look, I'm not going to speak for it.
They should probably just stay in Detroit. They play there on Thursday for Thanksgiving.
That would be...
Look at us!
I was just going to say...
We solved Rob Manfred's issues first, now Roger Goodell. Yeah.
I mean, again, look...
Stay in Detroit.
You would love to go back and forth, and I'm sure the players, I mean, they have lives. They're not robots. They've got families. They want to make sure that everybody's okay. Bottom line, you're going to be back there in a couple of days.
It may not be the safest thing to go back into a possible six-feet scenario.
You could FaceTime. I hate to say it, but you could talk to your family and make sure that they're cool. You should probably err on the side of caution there.
I would think that they probably do stay in Detroit would probably be the plan. If that's the case that they're going to get.
Well, let's put it this way.
Foot.
Bring a second pair of underwear. Just in case.
Is this a morass talk now?
No, I mean, like, you never know. You know, this is one of those situations where you got that. Bring the extra suit. Bring the extra pair of underwear. Maybe you got to buy some stuff in Detroit. I'm pretty sure your Amex card works. You'll be all right. But I would think error on the side of we may have to sit this one out and may not be able to fly back to Buffalo.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll get to the closing bell next. We'll also tell you which game we're bizarrely excited for when we return.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, Hickey, I'm going to take Raiders Broncos out of the equation. Is that the game you're bizarrely excited for?
And that's the game I'm excited for.
But that's the obvious
one.
I know. That's the game I'm most excited for this weekend. Forget any of the potential Cowboys and Vikings, Chiefs and Chargers. Forget about that. It is Raiders and Broncos. But what's the game you're bizarrely excited for if you had to give me one?
I will stick with the game that I was extremely excited for when it first was announced or before it was moved. I will go Bills-Browns to see. I just want to see what the atmosphere is like in Detroit on Sunday. Again, assuming this game is played, but it's going to be probably at best half empty. I would say more Browns fans than Bills fans, you'd assume. I'm just interested to see kind of what that is like and kind of the atmosphere or lack thereof surrounding this game.
I'm going to go Bears-Falcons. Mariota, I know, not a great game last week. Maybe you start to get some momentum to play Desmond Ridder, even though Arthur Smith said there is no quarterback controversy. And Justin Fields has caught my attention, even though that Bears defense stinks. By the way, where does Jets-Pats rank in terms of best game this weekend? Like, Cowboys-Vikings, I think, is a better game than Jets-Pats. Chiefs-Chargers, I think, is above Jets and Pats. But that could be blowout Chiefs. I think, though, it's a close game. I think the Chargers would actually cover the 6 points there this weekend.
Say, like, what are we talking about? Just in terms of record, like, hey, this is an important game.
Well, yeah, also style that, too. Of play, all the above, whatever constitutes a good game to you.
This is a good game from a record standpoint. I don't think the actual game is going to be very good. So
you think it's going to be sloppy?
I do.
A lot of defensive plays.
Low scoring, bad quarterback play. So I am not very, like.
So you have a potential for Scott Zolak to be screaming a lot of times, go, Judon, go, 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 get him, yeah, picked off Wilson.
I mean, look, the 1 o'clock slate's not very good, so, I mean, probably, if I'm a non-bias, I'm really trying to take my Colts fan out of this. I think I'm more intrigued in the 1 o'clock slate, Colts-Eagles.
Pats-Jets is a better
after
game than Eagles-Colts.
After that, I think Colts-Eagles will be more entertaining, better game than Jets-Pats.
I hope the Colts lose by 30. Why are you so now giddy about the Indianapolis Colts?
I'm not giddy. I think this Colts team is one that will be able to push the Eagles. That's all. I'm picking them to lose.
Gotcha.
I'm just telling you, I think it's going to be an intriguing game.
Okay. I hope the Colts lose by 30. I hope you have a miserable Sunday.
Well, I won't be that upset. This season's lost anyway, so.
Let's get to the closing bell.
Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
The reigning coach of the year, Mike Vrabel, has his team at 7-3, gets another victory, taking down the Green Bay Packers. Mike Vrabel continues to find a way to win with less. Give him a stock up. Christian Watson, 3 touchdowns last week, 2 last night, 5 touchdowns in the last 2 games, 3 + 2 = 5, right? Math good, okay. Stock up, Christian Watson. Aaron Rodgers, what the heck were you doing last night? How he missed Alan Lazard, and that ball was way over Alan Lazard's head, and he just looked lost on the field last night. Horrible year for Aaron Rodgers. Packers going to miss the playoffs. Give him a stock down. Todd Downing called a great game last night and then made an idiotic decision, was either drinking on the plane on the way back, I don't know, maybe went into the facility afterwards, took a few shots when they landed, and then got a DUI. You just ruined what was a great night for you. Stock down to Todd Downing. And finally, Andrew Catalan joined us earlier, and he went to Buffalo, but then his broadcast partners, James Lofton and Amanda Baliones, who her new last name is
Renner,
Amanda Brenner, they were flying together from Los Angeles. They had to get a connecting flight in Detroit. They get to Detroit, fly to Buffalo. They get to Buffalo. They find out how the game got moved to Detroit. Rough travel situation for them. They had to then drive from Buffalo to Detroit, give them unfortunate news, stock down. Fun week of shows. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Big thanks to Jersey Jerry, Andrew Catalan. I will be on the radio on Sunday locally in New York from 9 to 11:30 a.m. on WFAN, and then I'll be coming over here 12 to 8 p.m. for Eye on Football. Then we'll talk to you Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on the Zach Gelb Show. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.